Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I'm preaching on the miracles of Jesus Christ. And I want you to open up your Bibles with me, please, to St. Luke chapter 5, beginning with the first verse of this chapter. We were in this Wednesday night. We talked about boatloads of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about boatloads of fish, but we're actually going to be looking at the call of Peter into the ministry. And so it's important that we understand this passage of Scripture. Verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 11. If you don't mind, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, just in salute to God's Word. If you don't have a Bible, the Scripture is in lights. It's lit up here every Sunday. The Word of God's lit up. We thank God for His Word. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, oh, I wish people would do that today. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret is the same as the Sea of Galilee or Tiberias. These three words interchange. And saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed to Peter that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. He made the ship a pulpit. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught or a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, how many know we need to do this, what the Lord tells us? They enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Now that's a boatload of fish. Two boatloads of fish. I don't want fish, but I'd like to have two boatloads of other stuff. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down in the middle of all them fish at Jesus' knees, saying, boy, he meant business. He said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Boy, he was under conviction. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Jesus Christ. I want to use for a subject this morning the miracle of fishing. You may be seated. The miracle of fishing. Now, I enjoy fishing. And one thing I know about fishing in our day, it actually costs money to go fishing. It really does. By the time you get the bait, buy the gas for the boat, you get your lures, you get your fishing line, you take your trip. You could have went to the store and bought you a big package of fish. It costs money to fish. But I know the best fishing hole in the country. I guarantee you that it'll cost you not near as much, and you will catch fish every time you go. A special hole that I go to on a regular basis. Captain D's, Long John Silver's, amen, guaranteed. I was at Captain D's the other day, and I said, fishing was good today. I told the people where fishing was good today. And some guy jumped up and said, did you go fishing? I said, yeah, right here. He said, let me show you my fish. And he pulls out his cell phone and he began to show me fish, hundreds of fish, crappie and all kinds of big fish. And I'm sitting there saying, I don't want to look at your fishing album. I don't want to look at fish. I want to eat fish. I didn't tell him that, but I was glad to get out of that place when I did. Nothing worse than, you know, you got a grandma or a grandpa wanting to show the pictures of the grandkids. Nothing worse than a fisherman that actually borrowed some fish from someone else trying to show pictures. Amen. The miracle of fishing. Now, I'm going to share some things with you today that I believe is really super important. In fact, the call of Peter, that's what we're talking about, the call of Peter in chapter 5 of St. Luke. This is the call, not only of Peter, but Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus called them into the ministry. That's the first point I want to bring out to you, is the calling, Peter's call into the ministry. Peter's call, his calling. And one thing I said Wednesday night is, I'm not sure Peter was a very good fisherman, because every time I read the Bible, he always has nothing. And Jesus always has to help him. Every time Jesus found Peter, he was in one big mess. Every time. Remind you of somebody? Anyway. And so Peter, you know, when Jesus Christ said to Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch, I don't think Peter understood that the catch wasn't all them fish. Jesus was going to do a catch called James and John, Andrew and Peter. That was the big catch that Peter was after, that Jesus was after. He was out to catch Peter. Now the story is very intriguing when you look at all the things that Jesus Christ did to bring Peter, his disciples, these four disciples, on board with him in ministry. In this chapter 5 is not the first time that Jesus encountered Peter and Andrew, James and John. There are actually three methods of catching fish in those biblical times. One method was what I call the hook. You know about it, the fishing hook. Remember, Jesus told Peter, go down to the water. Matthew 17, 24 through 27 said, cast in a hook. The first fish you catch, open its mouth, there'll be money there, and you can pay our taxes. So we see that one mode of fishing was with a rod and a hook. Another mode of fishing was what I call land nets. And what I mean by land nets is the disciples, the fishermen, would stand on the bank and they would throw the net out. Sometimes it would take two to throw the net out, but most of the time each one could throw their own net out into the water and they'd pull it back. They'd fish all night, then while their others are hired to clean the fish, get them ready to go to market, they would fish from the shore and they'd pull it in. You find this in Matthew chapter 4. You find it also in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus Christ is walking by Andrew and Peter. And when he's walking by Andrew and Peter, and this is around verse 16, 17, and 18, Jesus Christ is walking by Andrew and Peter. By the way, Andrew is on board with Peter. They're looking at Jesus. They're evaluating Jesus. They are examining Jesus, and Jesus is examining them. In fact, the first chapter of St. John tells us how Peter came to meet Jesus. Andrew, Peter's brother, went home, rushed home, found his brother Peter, and said, you've got to go see this man. Is not this the Christ? This is the Messiah. And Andrew brought his brother Peter there in the first chapter of St. John, introduced Peter to Jesus, and Jesus Christ said, "Thou art Peter." He went by Simon. He said, "Thou art Peter," meaning you're a little rock. You're a rock. You're Cephas. And that was the first time that Peter met Jesus. And the first time that Peter met Jesus was, "You're a rock. You're going to be amazing. You're Cephas." And I'm sure that Peter began to think, "Whoa, I'm going through a hard time right now." And so they begin to follow Jesus Christ. In this first chapter of Mark, listen to me, because if you read the Synoptic Gospels, you're going to get confused if you don't listen to me carefully. Because this is not the first time. Months and months passed by before Jesus dealt with them again. Jesus comes by the sea, and he sees Peter throwing out net. Andrew and Peter throwing out a net, this land net. And they're pulling in the nets. And he says to Peter and Andrew, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." That sounds pretty good. I've never fished for men. I'd try that. I like fishing. And so they followed Jesus. He went on up a little ways, and the sons of Zebedee were washing their nets, and that is ship nets. They've been out to ship, and they're washing their nets. And he says to James and John, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." So those four, Andrew, Peter, John, and James, go with Jesus, and now Jesus is totally new to them. Jesus is absolutely new to them. And the first thing Jesus says to Simon, Andrew, James, and John, "Let's go to church. Let's go to the synagogue. Let's go to the Sabbath." And so Jesus takes, which I think Peter probably didn't go too much, to the Sabbath, to the synagogue. I think that James and John probably didn't go too much, probably didn't want to go too much. But Jesus takes them to the synagogue. Now, in John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1, they were from Bethsaida, Peter and Andrew. Now they've moved to Capernaum. And so Jesus meets them and takes them to church or the synagogue in Capernaum. We preached about this in the miracle of the healing of the mother-in-law miracle. And Jesus takes them to church. Boy, was they in for a surprise. Some guy full of the devil crawled out of himself, went bazooka right in the middle of service, accused Jesus of being the Son of the Most High God, and Jesus split him in two, cast the devil out of him, and made him sane. And probably Peter, on his way out, said, "I ain't never been to a church service like that." And so Peter and Andrew, James and John, we preached about this once before in the mother-in-law miracle. And so they come out, and they're about a 2-minute walk to Peter's house. Peter now has moved to Capernaum. And so they walk a minute and a half, 2 minutes to their house. And when they get in the house, Peter and the others in the house said, the mother of Peter's wife is sick of a fever. And so they say to Jesus, "She's sick of a fever." And Jesus stands over her like a doctor, not checking her vitals. He was her vitals. And he commanded the fever to leave, just like he commanded the demon to leave in the synagogue. And Peter's mother was healed, and she rose up and ministered to Jesus and the other six people. There may have been more than six, but there was at least seven there, counting the mother-in-law. Now, in the process, word got out after the Sabbath. People could start stirring, they could start traveling, and hundreds and thousands of people show up at Peter's house without, permission. They just show up. And Jesus comes out He gets up early in the morning, goes somewhere to pray, to seek his father. When he comes back, they're all, and he heals, and he casts out devils, and he does miraculous things. Now, that sets the setting. Months later, Jesus Christ is going to be walking past Galilee again, the Sea of Galilee, called here the Gennesaret, and he's walking past the sea, and there Peter is. He's been out fishing all night. Him and Andrew, James and John, been out fishing all night. And now we find the third instrument they use to catch fish, and that is the deep water net or the boat net. And they're washing their boat net because they had fished all night and had taken nothing. So Jesus shows up maybe a span of a year in this process. Jesus is doing all this to get Peter's attention. Jesus is doing all this to get to Peter. I wonder what Jesus is doing to you to get to you. I wonder what the world's doing to you to get you to go to Jesus. See, let's go back for a minute, and I don't want to get sidetracked, and I certainly don't want to get derailed, but anyway, we want to look at this because it's important that you see this. Peter, and I accuse Peter of being a bad fisherman. The truth is, every time Jesus met him, he was without fish. His answer was always no. In the fifth chapter, St. Luke, he fished all night, didn't catch nothing. That's the calling of Peter. Peter became a disciple of Jesus eventually. Here in this fifth chapter of St. Luke, Peter is hooked and brought in because Jesus has caught him now for good to be an apostle. Peter messes up along the way. Hello. Peter had a bad night the night he got saved, and then Jesus just stepped right into his life. He had fished all night, didn't take nothing. He had had a bad night, and Jesus steps right into his life, and Peter gets saved. Simon Peter gets saved. He has another bad night, and the bad night is the night that Jesus was arrested and taken to be crucified. You remember the story? Peter said to Jesus, "Though all men forsake thee, I will never forsake thee. I'll die for you." Well, when they showed up to arrest Jesus Christ, Peter pulls out the old handy sword, and he goes for the servant high priest Malchus' ear, head. Don't go for the ear. He goes for the head, and he misses and cuts off the ear of the servant's high priest. Jesus reaches down, picks up the ear, and puts it back. Amen? So it's not, where was Jesus when I needed him? He was there when that guy needed Jesus. Now, Peter denies his Lord three times. He surely backslides. So he has another bad night. In fact, he probably had several bad nights, but three major bad nights. The one, fished all night, caught nothing, but Jesus stepped in his life and changed his life. The next, he denies his Lord. He feels like he's no longer part of the apostleship, the discipleship, and he goes out and he weeps bitterly until he can no longer shed tears. And of course, Jesus rises from the grave after he dies, and he calls Peter, and the angel says, "Go get Peter and the disciples," and Jesus Christ begins to try to lure Peter back into ministry. And in the last chapter of St. John, we find Peter going through another bad night. He said, "I'm going back to fishing. Totally depressed. I'm unworthy to share the gospel. I'm unworthy to do anything for God. I go fishing." We'll go to that later. And that is the recalling of Peter. John chapter 21. It's the recalling of Peter. There may be some people in this room that you need the calling of Peter, or Peter's calling, Jesus calling Peter. You may need the calling that Peter had. There may be someone in this room that you may need a recalling. Amen? Some of you look like you need a total recall. But anyway, you need a recalling. And so Jesus Christ goes and finds Peter, and there in chapter 21, and he recalls him, brings him into the recalling of his ministry. Now, I said all that to say this because it's important you see this. We're talking about the miracle of fishing. I said that Peter probably wasn't a good fisherman. I think probably in the beginning he was expert. A lot of preachers preach about how Peter thought, you know, this furniture maker, this carpenter, he don't know nothing about fishing. You need to mind your own business, preacher. I know my fishing. Well, if he knew his fishing, he wouldn't have fished all night and taken nothing. But Jesus told Peter to launch out in the deep after he shared the word of God, after he preached. By the way, let me tell you, friends, there should be preaching before you draw the net in. There should be preaching before you set the hook. There should be preaching before you use your incredible net, the gospel net of Jesus Christ. And so here it is. Peter has hit a bad spot in his life. I think that Peter, though he may have been an expert fisherman in his day, I believe that his world began to fall apart. He lost the fisherman's touch. I believe he got to where he wasn't catching fish. I believe he was getting in debt. I believe that when the fish were caught, the great catch of fish, those fish were probably used to get him out of debt. Jesus Christ probably helped him out of debt. Peter was probably in such a mess that he didn't know what to do with his life. Now, let me stop and say this. It was just a great miracle for Peter not catching fish as it was for Peter catching fish at Jesus' word. What do you mean by that? Just as great a miracle of Peter not catching fish. Well, he had to see a Galilee. 60 to 65 surface water, 8 to 8.5 miles wide, 13.5 miles long, surface water, 60 to 65 miles of surface water, and it is chock full of fish. Peter has fish. He has the Sea of Galilee. Peter has a boat. Peter has nets. Peter has skill. But Peter is losing it. It was just as great a miracle for him to fall apart as for him to come together. Because, see, he was falling apart because God wanted him to fall apart. You see, your miracle may be a product. If everything in your life's going wrong, if everything in your life is turbulent, everything in your life is bad, your life's just not going well, you're probably on the verge of an atmospheric miracle. Amen. Miracles don't come when people are alive. Miracles come when Lazarus is in the grave. Yeah. Miracles don't come when people's not sick. Miracles come when people are sick unto death. Miracles come when people need a Savior. And sometimes God has to knock the slats out from under you. God has to pull that thing that you're leaning on away from you so that you'll see your need for a Savior. And that made him losing. He couldn't catch fish. He was an expert. It was just as great a miracle for him. And Jesus Christ was doing all this so he could catch Peter. What all is Jesus doing to catch you? I'll tell you, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for your sin and my sin just to catch us. Jesus Christ sent his word to heal and deliver them that are afflicted and oppressed of the devil. Jesus Christ gave us his word, gave us his life, gave us the story, gave us the great net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, went to the tomb, rose again from the grave to get to you. Jesus kept me up all night just to get to you. I couldn't sleep last night because I was thinking about Peter. How he must, you know, the Bible says that when Jesus showed up, he says to Peter, "How's it working for you?" He didn't say that in exact words. He said that in John chapter 21, "How's it working for you?" But Jesus shows up, and the Bible says that Jesus asked Peter to launch out a little bit from the shore, because the lake produces acoustics, sound travels on water. And I realized the seas, Galilee is called a sea. Galilee is below sea level, so is the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is salt water, Galilee's fresh water. And the reason God chose Galilee water is because it's such a huge lake and so much resembles the ocean, but yet it's calm enough. You can't do that on an ocean. I mean, you can't preach it. The waves keep your word from that. So God used the Sea of Galilee as his amphitheater. In fact, I believe it says in Mark that Jesus Christ told him to keep a ship standing by just in case he needs it. A ship standing by. I wrote the scriptures down for last Wednesday. I didn't use them, and now I don't have them. But anyway, you can find it. He wanted the ship to be available, ship ready, ready to sail. And so Jesus would use that amphitheater style lake, and he'd preach the word. After he preaches the word, he turns to Simon and says, launch out into the deep. You see, in the first chapter of Mark, the first chapter of John, Jesus has been evaluating, examining, looking at Peter, James, John, Andrew. And Peter has been, Jesus has been looking at them, and Jesus knew that Peter's life was in a mess. He was probably high in debt. In fact, the sons of Zebedee, their nets were getting rotten. They were broken. They were trying to mend their nets. Their nets were not real good. And so I think the whole fishing atmosphere had changed, because God had chosen to let their atmospheric pressure happen in their life so that they would look to Jesus Christ. If you're going through a hard time this morning, it could be that God's just wanting to get to you. If you're having trouble on the job, if you're having trouble financially, if you're having trouble at the home, if you're having trouble in your marriage, if you're having trouble in your life, it could be that God just wants to get to you. And I believe Peter was in such a mess. Peter was in such heartbreak. And when it says, and when Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus said, launch out in deep, let down the net for a catch, Peter turns to Jesus Christ, Simon, and says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Told you he wasn't good at fishing. I think the Lord made him not good at fishing. He had lost his touch. He had lost his golden reel. He had lost a putter in his boat. He didn't have much putter left. And so Simon's in a horrific mess. Not only did they toil physically all night and caught nothing, I believe Peter was toiling in his mind. I believe he was toiling in his mind how incredible this man Jesus is. I believe he's toiling in his mind, this Jesus is something else. He's the Messiah. He's a preacher. You're forgetting when he said, nevertheless, at thy will we'll let down the net for a catch. Nevertheless, at thy will we'll let down the net. We've toiled all night but taken nothing. I believe Peter toiled all night, not just in the boat, not just with the nets, but he toiled in his mind. He was not happy. Obviously, I don't know the finances of Peter, but I know every time Jesus showed up, he wasn't catching fish, so it couldn't have been too good. Obviously, I can't for sure say that Peter was going through something financially, but I believe he was going through something at home. After all, his mother-in-law was sick. There were things going on in his life. Peter was struggling. And Jesus knew Peter was struggling. And so, though he saw Peter in Mark chapter 1 casting nets out, those hand nets, land nets, though he saw Peter there with his net washing it, he says, now it's time to hook Peter. Now it's time to get Peter. Peter's told in his mind, he's struggled in his mind, what am I going to do with my life? Who is this Jesus Christ? He told me I'd be Cephas. He told me that I would be a rock. Who is this man? Who is this guy I went to church with and it blowed me out of the water? It scared me to death. It was so incredible in the synagogue. Who is this man that's so sovereign, so powerful, so incredible? Who is this? He said, nevertheless, at thy word, because you healed my mother-in-law, at thy word you healed my mother-in-law sick of a fever, at thy word you commanded demon spirits to come out of a man, at thy word you healed the sick, cleansed the leper, and done miracles right there at my doorstep, at thy word, because you say so, I will launch out into the deep, I will let down my net, and I will do as you say. And so Peter did what Jesus said. He let down his net. And all of a sudden that net started jerking. All of a sudden that net started throbbing. All of a sudden he's pulling on that net. Jesus is on board. I think there's a big old smile on Jesus from ear to ear, big old grin. And old Peter's got that net and he's pulling on it. And there's fish boiling at the top of the water. The net's got them in. The net's starting to break. There's so many. They yell, beckon, signal, whatever, to get James and John, the sons of Zebedee, to bring their ship. They bring another ship over. They put in the fish. There's so many fish that the boat's about to sink. They put fish in the boat of James and John, and that boat starts to sink. And there's fish flopping everywhere. And there's and the boat's about to sink. Water's coming in. There's so much fish. Such an incredible catch. You say, why? Because Jesus Christ, while he was preaching, made all them fish gather for school. And Jesus knew just where they were having their session, their lessons. Launch out in the deep, he pulls in the net, and there, and the fish are just boiling. They're just flopping, just jumping all over the ship. And Peter, get this, humble, Simon, humble, under conviction. He's been told, he's been hurting. He's going through a horrible thing in his life, and he crumbles at the knees of Jesus Christ. He bows down in the middle of all them slimy, stinky, smelly fish, and bow at the feet of at the knees of Jesus Christ, and said, "Oh, Master, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. Oh, Lord." He felt the guilt of his sin. You see, Jesus is pulling Peter in. Jesus is catching Peter. He's catching Andrew. He's catching James and John. He's catching the big fish, Simon, because he knows if he can catch Simon, he'll drag a bunch of other fish in with him. He went for the top, and Jesus hooked him and brought him in. He said, "Depart from me." And Jesus Christ said, "No, fear not. Don't be afraid, Peter." You say, "How do you know Peter was afraid?" Jesus said, "Fear not." He was afraid. I think he not only was afraid of Jesus and afraid of the great miraculous miracle that took place, but I think he was afraid of where his life was going. He didn't know what he was going to do with his life, but Jesus stepped right into his life. And I think there's some people in this room that Jesus would like to step right into your life. Amen? I believe the dark thunder cloud, you know, I believe the dark thunder clouds of depression and oppression and problems and toil, the dark thunderous black clouds over Peter's life, and like a lightning bolt out of nowhere strikes Peter's heart. Hello? And like a lightning bolt, it comes into Peter's heart, and now he says, "Oh, depart from me. I'm a sinner." And Jesus Christ said, "That's what I wanted you to admit. That's what I was after." You've heard of altars made of wood? His altar was made of fish. And he bowed before Jesus. And Jesus Christ said, don't you fear anymore. You've caught enough fish to pay off your debts. You've caught enough fish to take care of your problems as far as financially. Fear not. It's time to leave the boat. Or leave fishing, rather. Not so much the boat, but it's time to leave the fishing. And it's time to follow me. And at that juncture, Peter received his calling. That was his calling into the ministry. But, you know, Peter was incredible. Peter was an amazing apostle. But Peter messed up. And the last chapter of St. John tells us about the recalling. Peter's recalling. And some of you in this room may need a recalling. May need a re-forgiveness. May need a restart. May need a fresh new start. May need a recalling. Did you ever notice how St. John chapter 20, it's just like chapter 20 of St. John, it looks like he's closing the book. Looks like he's finishing the sermon. It's like he's finishing St. John. But then he adds chapter 21 onto a very good benediction in chapter 20. Why? Because John was a preacher and he didn't know when to shut up. No, that's beside the point. John added to chapter 21 because if chapter 21 of St. John wasn't in this Bible, you wouldn't understand Peter getting up on the day of Pentecost and preaching the gospel. You say, where did this come from? If chapter 21 was not in John, in the Bible, and St. John, you would wonder what's going on. But chapter 21 shows us how Jesus restored and brought a recalling to Peter's life. Amen? Now, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Some of you are sitting there saying, oh my, when you're going to get over? When I get over. I'll be done when I'm done. Amen? If you're at a rodeo or a baseball game or down at the lake swimming, you wouldn't be saying that at all. Say, oh, if you're a child, you'd be saying, oh, Mom, can we stay another 3 days? Amen? I used to tell Mom that when we'd go down to the lake and swim, and she'd say, time to go. Oh, Mom, can we stay at least another 5 minutes? She'd say, okay, you can stay another 5 minutes. They'd say, 5 minutes up, time to go, out of the water, kids. I'd say, Mom, give us another 5 days. Hello. Amen. Amen. We're talking about the fishing, the miracle of fishing. Because Jesus Christ stepped into his world. And Jesus Christ stepped into Peter's world, and Peter is discipled by the best, the Son of God. But Peter sins. And because he sins in that bad night, denied his Lord, he feels totally unworthy to be in the synagogue, unworthy to be counted among the disciples. But Jesus shows up. Now, we find in the 21st chapter of St. John, let me read that real quickly, a little bit of it. John chapter 21. And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, that's Galilee. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other disciples, and they're not named. And may I suggest those two other disciples as you and I. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. And they said, we go with you also. And they went out fishing all night, and they caught. Told you, Peter's a failure without Christ. I'm telling you, you're a failure without Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a failure without Jesus Christ. And he fished all night. And if you team up with other people without Jesus Christ, the whole bunch is failures. I want to hang out with winners. What should you hang out with? Hang out with winners that are with Christ, that love Christ, that serve Christ. Don't hang out with a bunch of losers. Hang out with winners in Jesus Christ. Does that mean you're snobby and snotty at the other people? No, it means that you go to them to catch fish, but once you set the hook and you don't land them, walk away. Keep trying to bring in your net. Amen? And so Jesus comes to the shore. They're out there. And Peter's out there fishing naked. Now, I don't know about you, but if seven men are in a boat and one of them is naked and I'm one of them men, I won't be in the boat long. I'll go home. Now, someone says, well, he was just down to his skivvies, his underwear, you know, in the outer coat. Well, that may be true, but the Bible says he was naked. And so they had fished all night. Peter's there, and Jesus says, children, little ones, toward the break of day, he's fixing food for them, fish and hush puppies. Peter has fish and hush puppies. Jesus has fish and hush puppies for him. I know it says bread, but hush puppies sounds a lot more spiritual. Fish and hush puppies. And Jesus shouts out across the water and says, little ones, children, have you caught anything? That's what we always ask fishermen. Give them a chance to lie. And they spoke up and said to Jesus, no. Simple answer, no. And Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. And John says to Peter, you must be dense. That's the Lord. I don't think he said, you must be dense, but it was John who said, that's the Lord. And when Peter realized, when they cast the net on the right side and they brought in an abundance of fish again, 153 big ones. Say, how do you know? Someone counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know what the difference between 152 fish is and 153? One. Say, what does that 153 mean? Someone said it means 150 species of fish at that time. Others say the 153, if you numerate it, it means I adore you, Lord. I can tell you exactly what that 153 means. It means 153. It means somebody counted them. Was there more than 153 fish? I think so, but they only counted the big ones. And Jesus Christ said, come, bring your fish. When they brought in that big load of fish, Peter was so excited, he grabbed his coat because he was naked and he jumped into the water to swim to Jesus. Well, you know, I didn't fall off the UPS truck overnight. The cheese hasn't fallen out of my sandwich, but I got enough sense to know you don't put on more clothes to go swimming. And he puts on his coat. I also got enough sense to know that if he put on his coat because he's cold, he's going to be really cold by the time he gets to shore soaking wet. I don't think he had to do much swimming because the lake was pretty shallow in that area. Sometimes the Sea of Galilee could get 75 feet deep, but in the area it was probably not very deep. The scripture says it wasn't very deep. Ain't Peter going like this, and all of a sudden he puts his feet down and goes, oh, I can walk. And he just walks. Instead of walking on water, he's walking through the water. And he comes to Jesus, and Jesus has the fish on the fire. Bring in the fish you have. Yeah, all 153 of them. Somebody counted them. And he said, bring of your fish and put some of your fish with mine, because Jesus has fish on the fire. And I think he was referring to not the whoppers, the little ones. You can sell the whoppers in the fish market, but the little ones, you can cook them with mine. I mean, Jesus Christ likes potlucks. He don't mind you adding your specialty to his. And so they have their fish and hush puppies. And then Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, was these the fish? Was these the ship? Was these the job? Was these the disciples? I don't know. But whether it's the disciples and the other people, or whether it's the ship, or whether it's the fish, you shouldn't love anything more than Jesus. Simon, lovest thou me more than these? So we're to love Jesus more than anything. Now, I don't want my wife don't have a problem with me saying this, because she understands, but I love Jesus more than I do my wife. I love Jesus more than I do my children. Until you arrive to that place, you've not gone where you need to go. And Jesus Christ says to Simon three times, he asked him three questions, do you lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. What he's using the word is, I like thee. And three times, Jesus asked him the second time, lovest thou me? And Peter said again, that Lord, thou knowest that I like thee. I love thee, I like thee. And then Jesus says, Simon, do you like me? And Peter said, I can meet you there. I love thee. In the process of these questions, Jesus Christ is saying to Peter, I'm going to bring you not only as a fisherman of men, but I'm going to take you to the feeding of men. I'm going to take you to the place of a shepherd. I'm going to take you to the place of a shepherd of the sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Over and over again, said, Peter, you're going to feed my sheep. And so Peter is called not only from a fisherman's trade, fishers of men, he's called to a high elevation, a position. Yeah, he wasn't worthy. He got up on the day of Pentecost and preached. Boom, thousands came to the Lord. Probably the other disciple says, what's he doing up there? He denied the Lord. He cussed like a sailor. Pardon me if you were in the Navy. But you see, Jesus chose Peter because there was a recalling. And I want you to know that there is a recalling for you that once served the Lord and you don't anymore. There's a recalling for those of you that have done bad things and you've tripped and stumbled since you became a Christian. There is a recalling for you. And Peter received the recalling and he became one of the greatest apostles in the Bible. And I'm grateful for the fact that just because you've been saved and have fallen doesn't mean it's over. Just because you've been called into ministry doesn't mean it's over. Just because you've had a bad day, a bad night, a bad life, it doesn't mean it's over. There is a recalling. And the only question in the test is asked three times. Three questions in the test. Lovest thou me more than these? Question one. Question two. Lovest thou me? Question three. Lovest thou me? Surely you can pass that test. Amen. You can be as dumb as a box of rocks and pass that test. And the Lord's not requiring you to love him a great deal. He's just requiring you to love him. Because the word was used, phileo, meaning affection, not agape, meaning God love. And so, you know, I tell the Lord, I pray regularly this kind of prayer. Lord, I love you, Lord. I pray that every morning. I pray that every time I pray, Lord, I love you. And I always add to that statement when I pray, Lord, I don't know how much I love you, but I know I love you. And you maybe don't know how much you love Jesus, but you know if you love him or not. And if you love him, there's a calling. If you love him, there's a recalling. If you don't love him, your world may fall apart. You may be an expert fisherman, a sea full of fish, and all the equipment, and won't be able to catch a thing. Because Jesus was out to get Peter. He's out to get you. If you're going through something financially, and the Lord spoke to me this in my heart, I couldn't sleep, and the Lord kept speaking to me. And the truth is, Peter not being able to catch fish. He had the ship, he had the nets, he had the skill. The sea was full of fish. Him not being able to catch fish was a miracle in itself. He was good at it. Now, if I can't catch fish, that's not a miracle. That's a bad day. And Peter found out that it was a bad day for him. And so the Lord lets our house crumble sometimes to give us a new house built on a solid rock. The Lord lets our life crumble. You may be in such a mess, toiling in your mind. You maybe don't know what to do. And all this time, Jesus is out to get you. It took probably a year for Jesus to really land Peter. But like a lightning bolt out of the stormy clouds of his life, Jesus stepped into his life, changed him forever. He messed up, and like a lightning bolt out of the clouds, and a night cloudy sea covered. In John chapter 21, Peter's messed up, and like a lightning bolt, Jesus comes into his life again. And says, I'm not done with you. Not that easy. Peter, make your excuses. You tripped and fell. That's not going to get you out of it. Make your excuses. You're unworthy. I know that. Don't you think God knows that? If you were worthy, I'd worry about you. If you think you are, I know we're unworthy. But he's worthy. And so God wants to say to you, if you're going through a hard time, now I'm going to bring this down relevant to our day. If you're having a hard time, it may not be the devil causing it. It may be God allowing it so that you'll focus and turn to Jesus Christ. The miracle of fishing. I've got to say this. I'm about out of time, but I got to say this. God gave us a net. And our net that we have is a miracle net. Our gospel net is incredible. The net that we have is that Jesus loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his son. Jesus died on the cross for your sin. He went to the tomb. He rose again from the grave. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save your soul. He wants to change your life. He wants to set you on top. He wants to turn you around, give you purpose, and give you joy, and save your soul from hell. What a net we have. Throw it out there and pull them in. Amen. And every time you start pulling in that net, there'll always be some that'll jump over the top, go back into the world. And every time you pull that net, there'll always be some mud huggers that'll go under the net back into the world. But the Lord wants you on his boat for a miracle. Isn't that good? Stand with me. Glad you came today. I know every one of you that were glad you came today. I can tell by the look of some of you, the ones that didn't, that wasn't glad that they came today. I can tell by the way you're looking. Amen. This is the best time of your life. I know with COVID and all this went on and the sickness, this is the best time of your life. This is the life in which Christ will never forsake you. This is a time in which God will forgive you of your sin. This is your best days of your life. Come to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you. As Peter did, don't fear. From henceforth, you'll catch men. That's our job, to bring others to Christ. So what are you doing right now, preacher? I'm pulling in a net. And you got two choices. Well, actually, you got three. You can go under like a mud digger under the net, or you can go over and run from God. Or you can allow that net that we're pulling in right now to say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm caught in your net of great love. Altar's open. You come.